Today I want to consider one very important and practical topic from today's Torah chapter. And actually, it is not easy. I was praying, should I deliver it today or maybe hold for next time? But it is not easy and not popular topic, but it's so important for us to remember and to know, especially today. I want to talk about the price of our forgiveness. Let us say together, the price of our forgiveness. Do you remember the story of Jacob and Esau? What was the main difference between them? The main, except he had a lot of hair on his body, Esau had. Except that, what else? Jacob understood the importance of significant blessing and spiritual blessing and was willing to pay a heavy price in following the Lord. So Jacob was ready to pay the price. Esau simply neglected his birthright because he did not understand, and the most important, did not want to understand the value of spiritual blessing. For him, it was nothing. It was something cheap for him, cheaper than a bowl of soup, a borscht. It's also red. Actually, borscht, it's a good thing to do, but spiritual blessing is more expensive and important. So spiritual blessing, the grace that comes from God into our lives, has its own price. The spiritual blessing in our lives has its own price. And the price of our forgiveness and mercy is the precious blood of our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua. What a huge price for our spiritual blessing. I say this because our eternity depends on understanding this issue. We will spend our eternity either with God or in separation from Him. And everything depends on this important understanding. Let us open Luke chapter 7. And really, let us open Luke chapter 7. Verse 36. We will read 36 until the verse 50. So be ready to find something very interesting in this text. Here is the story. Luke 7, 36. Now, one of the Pharisees was asking Yeshua if he would eat with him. Upon entering the Pharisee's home, Yeshua reclined at the table. And behold, a woman in the town who was a sinner, let us say together, a sinner. So everybody knew that she was a sinner. She wasn't a good woman, probably. She was a sinner, full of sins. I mean, we are sinners, but I don't think people in Jacksonville say, you are the sinner. So she was the famous for her sins. She must have done something. And behold, a woman in the town who was a sinner, when she discovered that Yeshua was reclining at the Pharisee's home, brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to drench his feet with tears and kept wiping them with her head of hair. Then she was kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. And verse 39, here's the picture. Now, when the Pharisee who invited him, the righteous man, the religious man, the important man in his community, the pure man, as he thought. Now, when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this were a prophet, he would know what sort of woman is touching him, that she is a sinner. Wow, what a conclusion. Verse 40, and answering, Yeshua said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, come on, guy. Come on, teacher. Come on, preacher. Let's preach. Say it, teacher. Say it, rabbi. Verse 41. A money lender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, but the other 50. When neither could repay him, he canceled both debts. So which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Yeshua said. Turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, can you believe? He turns to the woman and he said to Simon, for me, this is the sign that the grace went through Yeshua to this woman and didn't even touch Simon. He was out of grace of the Lord at that moment because of his judgment and his own heart. Turning towards the woman, I want to be this woman. I want to hear the words from the Lord in my life. And I don't want to be Simon. Turns to the woman. He said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house, and you didn't give me a water for my feet, but she has drenched my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time she entered, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I tell you, her sins, which are many, yes, she was a sinner, have been forgiven. Let us say, have been. Think about the time frame. Have been. Already, she's clean. She's not a sinner anymore. She was a sinner. I tell you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little, loves little. He then said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And 49, of course. But those who were reclining at table with him began to say to one another, who is this who even forgives sins? Heresy. Verse 50. Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in shalom. Wow. What a story. In other words, only people who have realized their deep need for mercy, who have repented and deeply regret their sins and transgressions, can genuinely love the Lord, follow Him, pay the price of their dedication to God. Only with this such understanding of His mercy we can do that. And those who do not understand, even if they are religious people, who do not understand that price paid for them, what great mercy the Lord showed them, simply are not able to love Yeshua and appreciate the greatest gift of mercy. For such a person, the path of salvation is closed, as it was for Simon. At that moment, I mean, we have ability to turn to the Lord, but at that moment, Simon was far from the mercy of the Lord. Let us open Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. Here's the very unpopular place of the scriptures. But we need to read it. It's important for us. Hebrews 10, verse 28. It's an important part. Anyone who rejected the Torah of Moses dies without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. How much more severe do you think the punishment will be for the one who has trampled Ben Elohim, son of God, underfoot and has regarded as unholy the blood of the covenant by which he was made holy and has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know the one who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, Adonai will judge foreigners, people from Ukraine, of course Russians, Chinese, people from all the tribes of the world who claim to be his people. We are also his people. Adonai will judge his people. He will judge in mercy. But anyway, he is the Lord. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What a warning for us it is. How important to know this place of the scriptures. Someone said that the New Testament, Brit Hadashah, is softer and less demanding on us. But I disagree entirely with that statement. The Torah tells us how to do the right thing and what consequences will come from breaking God's word. The New Testament judges our thoughts and the motives of our hearts. Because Yeshua revealed the holiness and purity of God, his standards for our lives. How holy is the Lord. So I want to reread the key verse, verse 29, and let us go through this verse, specific verse, Hebrews 10, 29. Here's the answer, why? How much more severe do you think the punishment will be for the one who has trampled Ben Elohim, Son of God, underfoot and has regarded as unholy the blood of the covenant by which he was made holy and has insulted the Spirit of grace? So, you see that the main problem in this verse is that a person does not value enough the price paid for him by the Lord and Savior Yeshua, and therefore tramples on the great sacrifice made for him by God's Son without an understanding of the price of his salvation. Trampling means simply ignoring, disregarding the Lord and everything connected to him. We need to remember that. And I know that it's serious and we are just, but it's not the condemnation right now. It is freedom for us to understand how priceless, how important, It is so important always to remember that the blood of the New Covenant, New Testament, is the price of the covenant of God with us, with humanity. The Bible warns us to regret the blood of the New Testament as a shrine, as a holy. So important. Make holy, sanctify, means separated from ordinary things and presented for the Lord and his plans. Some people regretted as unholy the blood of the covenant, and because of this, they insulted the Spirit of grace. And the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, cannot dwell in the lives of such people. You know why? Because the Ruach HaKodesh is holy and pure. He wants to live in pure heart. As a result, such people lose the ability to see their sinfulness and become incapable of repenting. Do you remember John 16, verse 8? Very briefly, John 16, 8. It's about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. It is so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is so important. Because he shows us our sinfulness, and he can help us to repent, to follow the Lord. Please always remember that one of the main tasks of the Holy Spirit is to convict a person of sins and truth, and thus lead a person to tshuva, turning to God, genuine repentance and profound changes in a person's life. It is impossible to repent and come to Yeshua without the Holy Spirit. Impossible. Impossible. Only he can lead us to the repentance. So this is an essential and relevant topic today, because many people are frivolous about faith in God, about Yeshua's sacrifice, and therefore believe that God's grace is permissive. It's all. Some people believe that Yeshua died and shed his holy and precious blood so that God would simply close his eyes to the sins and iniquities of people. It's all. Because of this false understanding, they think that it's enough just to stand up for a prayer of repentance once in a lifetime, maybe twice, maybe three. One friend told me that he repents for 7 times, I believe, or more. He was saved 7 times. It's a great salvation, 7 times in a row. Because of this false understanding, some people believe that it's enough to stand up for a prayer of repentance and after that continue to live a sinful and ungodly life. But grace is not an excuse for sin or an excuse for iniquity. It's not an excuse. So let us read the definition of grace in the Bible. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, 12, and verse 14. Titus 2, 11, 12, and 14. And remember, I ask you, do not clap to me before the service, only after the service, if you will be able. Titus 2, 11, 12, and 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And verse 12. What a great word of the Lord. Training us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live in a manner that is self-controlled and righteous and godly in the present age. Here's the grace of the Lord. It's pure. It leads us after the Lord, follow the Lord. Verse 14. He gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and so that he might purify for himself a chosen people. Mazel Tov, congregation. You are part of the chosen people. You are chosen people. Zealous for good deeds. The Holy Spirit in you is in you and you are zealous for good deeds. And if you don't understand that yet, you are zealous for good deeds because the Holy Spirit is in you. He is leading you to serve the Lord. The actual grace of God is in Yeshua, in our Messiah. He is the representation of grace to us. Grace is pure and holy, and she teaches us how to live a pure, godly lives. The grace of the Lord shows us that our Lord Yeshua gave himself for us so that we might be forgiven. You remember, as that woman, she was already forgiven without even understanding of that. The Lord forgave her. So that we might be forgiven and cleansed from all iniquity, from sin within us. And most importantly, God's grace leads us into serving God, into the calling that we have from the Lord, which is why I said, to purify for himself a chosen people, zealous for good deeds, to fulfill our calling. So today's Torah chapter teaches us about this truth, very important truth. So let's look at the life of Judah and his words that softened Joseph's heart, and after which Joseph gave forgiveness to his brothers. And let's remember that Joseph is a type of the Messiah Yeshua. And one of the titles of the Messiah in scriptures is Son of Joseph, the Suffering Messiah. So let us read about Judah. Let us open Genesis chapter 37. And we will slowly come to our Torah portion. And we'll finish on the Torah portion today. Genesis 37 verse 26. Here's the difficult story. Then Judah said to his brothers, when they were ready to kill Joseph at that moment, what profit is there if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? We won't have any money. What profit is there? Here's the solution. Come on, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Good idea. We will get rid of Joseph and we'll have some money. Super. I think he felt smart at that moment. Let's not lay our hand on him, since he's our brother, our own flesh. His brothers listened to him, for sure. They thought they are smart. When some men, Midianite merchants, passed by, they dragged Joseph up and out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. This story, when I read this, reminds me of the act of Judas of the New Testament, that Yeshua was sold to the Romans for 30 pieces of silver, and Joseph for 20. So Yeshua was 10 pieces of silver more than Joseph. Yeah, 10 more. Out of envy and a desire to gain some money, Judah decided to sell his brother Joseph, a Jew, who would later become the savior of the entire family of Israel and all the peoples of Egypt. Yeshua was also sold for 30 pieces of silver and taken to death because of the envy and unbelief of his brothers, his family, the people of Israel. So what happened to Judah after that? After his betrayal, chapter 38, Genesis 38, Judah was unable to stay with his family, and he continued his spiritual decline. Genesis 38, verse 1, about the time, right after that, what happened in chapter 37, Judah went down from his brothers, and he camped near a Adullamite man whose name was Hira. And Judah went to a foreign land and took a foreign woman as his wife. And as a result of his apostasy from the Lord, his unrighteous deeds, his two sons dies. They died. And he experienced tremendous upheaval in his life. His betrayal and fall from God cost him dearly. We can read it in chapter 38. So, when I read about Judah, I believe that Judah is a type of people who rejected the Messiah, a kind of fallen humanity, actually, kind of each one of us before we came to the Lord. Each one of us. We were included in Judah. All of us. All of us. All of us. Because of our sins and actions, we all rejected the Messiah Yeshua. But there is light. Something significant happened in the life of Judah, in his heart. He regretted his betrayal and re-evaluated his life. So let's read about the same Judah in the 44th chapter of Genesis. So it's today's Torah chapter. Welcome to today's Torah chapter. Finally, we are here. Chapter 44. When Joseph decided to test his brothers and see if there was any remorse and repentance in their hearts. So chapter 44, verse 18. Here's the same Judah after many years of hard, difficult life. Then Judah approached Joseph and said, "I beg your pardon, my lord. Please, let your servant say a word in my lord's ears, and don't be angry with your servant, since you are like Pharaoh. Verse 30. Now if I come to your servant, my father, and the boy isn't with us, since his life is bound to his life, when he sees that the boy is no more, he'll die. Then your servants will bring the gray hair of your servant, your father, our father, down to Sheol in grief. For your servant